The following sermon was preached at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Jessup, Georgia. Visit our website at www.ebcjessup.net.
You open your Bibles to Psalm chapter 3.
Psalm chapter 3. And put your finger there and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Stephen Henderson apologizes for not being able to be with us. He became sick Friday night with fever and chills, and he decided to go home. I think that was the best thing for him to do, and maybe we can have him at another GA or fraternal give a devotion or something of that nature. So let's look at 2 Timothy. I want to read to you 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And then we'll turn to Psalm 3. You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. I was reading this and was thinking a few weeks ago about what it meant to suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. What would one need to suffer hardship as a good soldier of Christ Jesus? And it became something that was ringing in my mind was Psalm 3. If we're going to deal with the realities of this world, and some in our church are reading through Dale Ralph Davis's book on Psalm 1 through 12. And I began to think about the ideas that Dale Ralph Davis had put together from Psalm 3. And in Psalm 3, it quotes the realities of the troubles of David and his fleeing from Absalom. He writes, O Lord, how my adversaries have increased. Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no deliverance for him in God. David had been a soldier of his God, and he was suffering many, many a hardship. If you remember back, the things were so tough and so hard because of Absalom taking up an offense for his sister. His sister who Amnon had taken advantage of. Absalom had come to a point that he wanted to take David's life. He had put together a conspiracy that was so great he had undermined the whole work of David throughout the kingdom of Israel. Everything was undermined. Not just David as king, but David as an individual in all of life among the people of Israel. Compared to all the kingdom of Israel, there were few that would stay with him. Now, we can't say that Absalom was totally at fault, for David had not handled things properly with Amnon. David had caused this issue in and of himself in a lot of ways. The scripture is clear that David knew of everything that had taken place between Amnon and Tamar. But yet David, recognizing the realities of his situation, recognizes not only have his adversaries increased, but many are rising up against him. He says, many are saying in my soul, there is no deliverance for him in God. It's gotten to the point that the enemies are so brazen of their position that they're saying even God's against him. God will not save him. God's not even on his side. I think for us as pastors and even those of you who are here as lay people, this is the place we live in the world. But even in the world, as we come to our places of worship, there's things that go on in our churches that we have great struggle and strife because of the enemies that will rise up against us. Over the years, as a pastor, it's sometimes been hard not to become cynical. You sometimes wonder who's your friend and who's not. Who are my enemies? Who are my adversaries? I'm sure as a layperson, when you go into a workplace, sometimes you wonder, who are my friends here? Who are my enemies? Who are my adversaries? I'm not even sure who they are some days. Some days it's Bob. He's my friend. But other days he seems like he's my adversary. So what is it that we need to move forward as soldiers of Christ Jesus? To suffer the hardships. Paul nor David deny the reality of hardships in the Christian life. Paul is telling Timothy, suffer the hardships. David is writing saying, I'm in the middle of it. As an early Christian, I spent much of my time trying to figure out how to avoid them. Thinking that somehow the Christian life was going to be good. If I got it all together and got it right, then I wouldn't have any hardships. That was the glory of the Christian life, was not having any hardships. But with each passing month and year, you begin to realize how unrealistic and how unfaithful that is to the Scripture itself. Hardship is true and real. Adam reminded us yesterday morning as pastors how we need to be patient with our people. It was so convicting. But honestly, Adam, I admit to you that patience is a hardship. It's a hardship as a pastor. It's a hardship as a father. It's a hardship in all of life. I love my children more than anything, but there are some days it's just hard to be patient. What is going to get us through? What is it that we need? Well, David gives us a wonderful answer in Psalm 3 in verse 3. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head. Del Ralph Davis says this is about the protection of God. That God is the one who shields us. He's our protection. If a soldier is going to go in to the hardships of battle and the hardships of the front line of war, what does he first need? He needs a shield. We spend billions of dollars protecting our soldiers as they are in the Middle East, building all types of armored clothing and armored vehicles of all types to protect them. And for us as Christians, the greatest shield we have is to turn to the God who made us, to the God who keeps us and sustains us. And Paul reminds Timothy that that is worked out through the flesh, that human nature that Jesus Christ Himself had. He came in bodily form. This flesh, it's not a sinful flesh. It was perfect in every way. But He came in bodily form. It's to trust in Him alone. To turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the shield we have. It's being reminded of the gospel and the glory of the gospel. It protects us. Pastors, I think it's hard for us sometimes to actually remember we have to turn to the gospel too. How many times do I turn my people to the pages of the Lord Jesus and tell them to turn to Christ? I mean, I implore them, turn to Christ. And yet in my own life, sometimes I look at myself and realize I'm having some of the same struggles they are, and I'm wanting to do these things in my own works. tighten up my own bootstraps and get her done. But we have one shield, and it's not ourselves. It's not our humanity. It's based in the humanity and the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our shield. Turn to Him. Look at His life. Plead His righteousness. We need to do as Solomon did and ask for wisdom. We need to implore the words of James and ask for wisdom, that we would use the same shield. He also brings up something else here that I think is important. There are several things that we could go through, but we don't have the time. He says, I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and He answered me from His holy mountain. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustains me. Not only do we need a God who protects us, but we need a God who's accessible. And I think Del Ralph Davis is right on target with this. This is the one thing about the Christian God that is so wonderful, because He's the only God. We know for sure that He's accessible. He's knowable. The Islamic faith does not have a knowable God. The great reminder for us is, as we go in and we suffer the hardships of the battles of the world around us, we have a God who's knowable. We're not calling out to some esoteric thing that we know nothing of. There's no statue that we rub or we pray in front of. There are no monuments that could withstand the realities of this God. But yet He is knowable. He is accessible. The psalmist cried out to Him, and what does he say? And He answered me. Do we hear the audible voice of God? No. But He answers us through His Word. He answers us through providence. He answers us through giving our dark souls peace. How is it that Christians that have gone before us for years, those who have been through all different types of trials and tribulations, how is it that they've withstood those things, and at the end of their days, they've been able to cry out to Christ and tell of the glory and the sweetness of the person and work of Jesus Christ? As they lay dying of awful diseases, how have the martyrs called out but that the God that they serve is knowable and accessible? I remind you, men, this morning, we don't leave here today with some strange, esoteric God that we do not know. We go back to the place that God has sent us to serve, with a God who is knowable. He is accessible. He answers us. He lifts our head up in restoration. But most of all, He sustains us, and He's our shield. Leave encouraged that there's absolutely nothing that God has not put before you, that He has not intended for your growth and His glory. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You've been merciful and kind. You gave us Your Word. We know we have probably not even scratched the surface of the troubles and hardships of many. But Lord, in our own struggles, we are thankful that You are our shield, that You lift our head up in restoration, that You keep us and sustain us. And most of all, Lord, that when we pray, even as now, we all pray together to a God who is knowable and accessible. And we know that You will answer our prayers. You will get us through the trials that come our way as we turn to You through the person and work of Your Son, Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen.
We invite you to worship with us at Emmanuel Baptist Church, located at 1618 Waycross Highway, Jessup, Georgia. Visit our website at www.ebcjessup.net for information about the church, service times, and to listen to other sermons.